right, as you come back, you may be seated. Want to spend some time tonight now in a what I call a final preparation for revival. I don't want this to be a cram session like when you were in college. I wanted to have some peace and some power and some preparation. So take your Bible, if you would, and find a book that you may not visit often, but I find wonderful, a wonderful place for us tonight. The book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Excuse me, Pastor? Yes, it's in the Bible. Find Isaiah. Find Jeremiah. It's right after Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote it. If you have an electronic Bible, you're a cheater, but that's okay, no problem. You won't struggle with that. Find, if you would, the fifth chapter of Lamentations. Next thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to get your prayer bulletin, and I'd like you to grab a pen, and I want you to jot some thoughts down tonight that will help you in your last preparation before revival. Let me just say a couple of practical things about revival preparation. I would say the best you can, now you can't control all of this, but the best you can, when you're finished working on Friday, you want to begin to kind of temper your energy, temper your schedule, especially on Saturday. Begin to prepare yourself for Sunday. Begin to prepare yourself for revival. In my case, I'm rejoicing because there's no football on this weekend, so it'll be easy for me to do this. But don't run your guts out Saturday night. I would love to put a Plantation Baptist curfew, but I don't think you'd obey it anyway. Don't run your guts out Saturday night. Get yourself home. Get yourself prepared. If you're part of the prayer chain, you know, Friday night into Saturday, you'll be participating there. I'm hoping and praying that what I give you tonight, you'll be able to visit Saturday night. I would even encourage you before you go to bed Saturday night, spend some time with the Lord. Well, I'm going to get up early and do it on Sunday. No. Do it Saturday night before you go to bed. Get your mindset ready. We talked about how the mind affects the heart. We talked about how concentration lends to the breaking up of our fallow ground. So these are things that I'm going to do personally. These are things I do every week before Sunday. Occasionally I'll run my guts out Saturday night, but I don't do it often. If you've invited me out Saturday night, you know I tell you I need to be back early to try to get prepared. So I would encourage you to do that and be ready. So you have your paper here. You don't have to write everything down, but if I had to ask you this question and you had to give an answer to it, if I asked you to give a definition, what would you say to the question, what is revival? In your mind, if you had to define what revival means and what it is, in your understanding, what is revival? You may want to take a moment and write a word down on that piece of paper, and just so you can define. If you invite somebody to a revival and they say, "Well, what is it?" What would you say? It's interesting. I have a biblical definitions, multiple biblical definitions to what revival is, but I looked up Webster. They used to, before you had Wikipedia, we used to get everything off of Daniel Webster. You know, the younger crowd's like, who's that, right? Okay. Webster said, if you look up revival, it carries with it the idea of restoring consciousness to life. He gave an application. It can also be the return of a film or a play which was formally presented, something that was but maybe has lost and now is being revived. It's bringing a consciousness back to life. This is the way that Webster defined it. Anytime you're talking about a consciousness or a restoration of life, you're talking about something that is serious. You could use the word resuscitation. Webster would go with that. You could use the word a reawakening. Notice the words re, the little prefix there. Something that was once before but being established again. If I had to give you some biblical words for revival, I would give you the word revive. You'll find that in the Old Testament. Renewal ought to be a word you should be writing down. Return ought to be a word. So when we're talking about revival, revive is a word you find in the scriptures. I'll show it to you. You're talking about a renewal. You're talking about a return. Really and truthfully, that word return is a tremendous word when it comes to revival. In the revival passages that I have found that I'm going to give to you, you will find the word turn in each of these passages. I wanted to just kind of give you a biblical picture of an honest heart and mind look at revival. And I wanted to take what Jeremiah penned in Lamentations chapter 5. And I want you to kind of see his assessment of the nation of Israel, his assessment of the hand of God. And then I just want you to hear his heart. I'm not putting us in this same predicament as the nation, but I hope and pray that we have the same heart that Jeremiah has. The book of Lamentations is all about Jeremiah lamenting the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 1, verse 1 talks about that. And Jeremiah understands that Judah has been destroyed because of God's moving against the unfaithfulness of Israel. And so just listen to how, as we read through, and I'll read it kind of quickly, listen to his description of how he understands the moment in verse number 1, chapter 5. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. This is after God has done this. Consider. Jeremiah is asking God to consider. Behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. By the way, what was their inheritance? They got the land of Canaan. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. They had to pay for water back then. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor. We have no rest. We have given the hand of the Egyptians and the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not. We have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives. What a statement. Because of the sword of the wilderness, our skin was black or hot like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maids in the cities of Judah. You can only imagine what that was. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. Interesting. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. Man, you take music from a culture, from a generation, or from a people, And you have morbidness for sure. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into what, class? Mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Jeremiah says, it wasn't worth it. Our sin against God, our idolatry, our disobedience, everything God promised to us has been turned on its head. Everything that we should be enjoying from the goodness of God, because of our sin, the nations are enjoying, and we're eating at the peril of our lives. Verse 17, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. And verses 19, 20, and 21 is where I'm getting. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Man, I'm going to tell you what. When you're in the pit, and when you're in where they are, and you have messed up, I'm glad for faithful God. Thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Verse 21, say the first word. Turn. Turn thou us unto thee. That's revival, my friend. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew, there's our word, our days as of old. Jeremiah was saying, we need revival. We're in this position without God's blessing upon our lives because we have sinned as a nation. God, you have absolutely chastened us for our sin. God, don't forget us forever. I praise your holy name that you're faithful, that you remain forever. Here's what I need you to do, Lord. I need you to turn us unto thee. We shall be, if you do this work, we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. This is what revival is designed to do. Revival is designed to turn us unto the Lord in such a way that we see our distance from Him, we see our sin, we see where we are, we see where we used to be in our lives in certain areas, and we want to be brought back to that. And I understand that that's different for everybody as individuals, but I would say that there's some part in all of our lives that we need God to turn back to Him. You will find this word turn in Psalm 85. Go to Psalm 85. I just want to show you now a couple passages. And I'm saving time for prayer. Psalm 85. This is probably the most familiar passage on revival. In Psalm 85 where God has removed his, they're asking God to remove his anger from them and their position of disobedience. And you will see this again. Jeremiah said, turn us unto thee, renew our days. The psalmist in Psalm 85 writes in verse number 4, turn us, O God of our salvation. Cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Notice the same question. That's not accusing God of that. That's just saying, praise God, there's forgiveness with God. Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again? There's our word, turn. There's our word, revive. We're coming back to this in a moment, but let me go ahead and have you look at something there at verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may, say that word. Okay, put that in your memory. In our study, you're going to get that in a second. Come to Psalm 51, if you would, please. Psalm 51, just back a few passages there. Hope you're writing these scriptures down. David in Psalm 51 is making his prayer for cleansing. Really and truthfully, it's a prayer for revival. I want you to see verse number 10. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew," there's our word, what's those two words? Right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me joy. So you have to understand the revival process here. First, you have the penitent cry from the child of God that carries with it words like turn, words like renew, words like revive. You have that cry, and you have the understanding that this is not something that David, this is not something that Jeremiah could do in and of themselves. So understand this. You can't revive yourself. Okay? So if I can't revive myself, then that work has to be done apart from me. And these passages tell me that the only one that can revive me is God himself. You with me? Okay. So there's a process here. You have the cry for revival, for renewal. You have the plea for God to turn. This is a work that God has to do himself. The consequence of that, it's a negative word, but I want to use it in positivity, is at the end of the revival process is joy. By the way, God's people, we need joy, don't we? And so, yeah, in one way, revival is going to target me in my areas of weakness. It's going to target me sometimes in my areas of disobedience. It's going to target me sometimes in my areas of strength just to make sure that it's not me but the Lord. But really and truthfully, if I let God do his work, then the final product of revival is joy in my life. I don't know about you, but knowing that the final product in my life to be the joy of my salvation even creates within me more of a desire and a thirst for God to revive me. Think about that. However, knowing that the work has to be done by God, then I have a responsibility. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. Come to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. You know this verse. You know the context of this passage. You know this is when Solomon is dedicating the temple. You know the glory of God fills the temple. You know that Solomon has made his prayer. He has worshiped the Lord. In verse number 12, the Bible talks about that and says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." What is he talking about? This would be the disobedience or the chastening of a disobedient people. God didn't want to do that, but he's saying, you're telling me you're going to obey me, but if you do disobey me, there will be a chastening to that. But I want you to understand this position. Verse number 14. If my, say it, people. See, revival is all about the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and, say it, pray. So, Pastor, Can I really know revival? The answer to that is yes. You can really know revival. But you need to understand some things. Number one, you can't revive yourself. This has to be something that God does within you. Understanding that this is a work that God does within me helps me to reckon that I belong to God. I'm His child. I'm called by His name. And part of that process of revival is me understanding who I belong to. And then, as we learn here from what Solomon is told by the Lord, there's this humbleness of spirit that takes place. And then God's people have to pray. You can know revival, but you're not going to know it without praying. You got to ask God for it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. The evidence of wanting and desiring revival is found in the verse where he says, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, and there's our word class. What is it? Turn. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. What is revival? Revival is the work that God does within our spirit and our heart to renew, to resuscitate, to restore, to get us to return to a place where we reckon ourselves as the people of God with all humility of God, where we're seeking the face of God, where we're praying in the Spirit of God, and then where we know the turning of a righteous heart and a righteous mind. And this is what God and God alone can do in our lives. I hope and pray that you're sitting there in these final moments before revival, desiring for God to do a work of revival in your heart. If so, would you say amen? Amen. Write these four thoughts down, and I'll finish with one thought after. Maybe another thought after that. Pastor, I understand what revival is. I understand who's going to do the revival. I understand my responsibility to pray. How will I know if I have been revived? What should I be looking for? Write these four thoughts down. A passionate devotion to the Lord. Number two, a burning compassion for the lost. Number three, a personal fashion, like clothing fashion, a personal fashion in the Holy Ghost. And then a personal satisfaction in the Lord. I'm going to go over them again, okay? A personal, passionate devotion to the Lord. A burning compassion for the lost. A personal fashion in the Holy Ghost, which means a spirit-filled life that I want to have God's power upon my life, the fullness of the Holy Ghost in my life, the emptying of self in my life, where really and truthfully I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then that fourth effect of revival is really a satisfaction in the Lord. And he talked about the joy. You know, I have found as I find my joy in the Lord, I lose everything else in my life, loses its stranglehold on my life. Circumstances, problems, people, needs, difficulties, failures, all of these things that kind of have clenched me, as I find a personal satisfaction in the Lord, those things lose their allurement. Those things lose their influence. Those things don't really have power over me anymore, because I really don't care about those. All I care about is that my Lord has me, and he never will let me go, and he cares for me, and he loves me, and he is all that I need. My friend, when you know these four things as the effects of revival in our lives, boy, it'll change us. On your paper, write the word caution. Caution. Write 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I'll read them to you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, I know that Peter wrote this to suffering saints, and I understand the context of this, but the truth is the truth. And here is the truth. You and I have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And I really believe that as you're making final preparation for revival, he's making final preparation to devour you. Okay? So you can't be spiritually ignorant here. Just like I preached on Sunday with tithing, you always, the enemy is coming. When it comes to get yourself prepared for revival, the enemy is coming. So be sober. Be vigilant. Look for the enemy in your life. And I don't mean the human enemy or the person you sleep with and call your husband or your wife, right? Look for him. He's coming. He's going to nose around in your schedule. He's going to nose around in your mind. He's going to nose around in the relationship. So between now and the end of revival, when something bad goes down or something influential goes down that you feel a pull away from revival, you got to stop and say, where is that rascal? What's he doing here? You know what? If I really think about it, this ain't all that bad. This is the devil trying to get me to not have a proper mindset. This is the devil trying to keep me away from my prayer. This is the devil trying to keep me away. Begin to look for him. He does wonders in the circumstances. He does wonders in things breaking down. Nobody breaks more things than Satan. Right? So somebody's going to tick you off. And it may be a fellow Christian. But we wrestle not against flesh and, right? So you're going to have a bad day. Something's going to break. You're going to have a family problem. You're going to have a relational problem. Somewhere, be sober, be vigilant. Somehow, if you have an honest desire for revival, there is no way in the world Satan's going to let you just tiptoe right into revival. And you got to look for him the whole time. You may make it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, bam. Well, I've been Sunday, I've been Monday, I've been Tuesday. I don't need to go tonight. And that may be the night God has something great for you. Have you ever come to church and God had something great for you? Amen. Hope so. I was getting ready to quit. What is revival? It is a work of renewal and return and reawakening that God does in my spirit that turns me unto him. This is not something I can do myself. God has to do that, but he will do that as I reckon him, as I humble myself, and as I pray, and I present my desire there, then God will do that work. The devil will try to fight it, but these are the things that I want him to do. I want a personal, passionate devotion to the Lord, a compassion for the lost, a fashion in the Holy Ghost, and a satisfaction in the joy of our Lord. I believe that God is going to give us a great revival, but we got to pray.